Gospel according to St. John, the 8th chapter. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed him, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." They answered him, "We are offspring of Abraham and have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free?" Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The Son remains forever. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed." This is the Gospel of the Lord. Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. What we have come to call the Lutheran Reformation of 1517 really was a fight for security. It was for peace once again in the Holy Church amongst all of the raging storms and waves. Because what had happened was the theological system of the Middle Ages in many ways taught its pastors to preach insecurity. They made the Christian life unbelievably complicated, complex, and difficult. But at just sort of the popular level, God was simply depicted and envisioned and shown forth as always enraged with sinners. Right, even to the point hating them, but doing very little to alleviate his anger. The effects of this very, very dark period in the church made its way even into this country and has sort of been enshrined in the horrible sermon by Jonathan Edwards titled "Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God." You know, I see some of you mouthing it. You know it. So what this did then was to leave sinners, us, who are generally wounded and weak from sin to begin with, as having to appease God and his wrath through what? Through their own works. Through the little things that we do to sort of alleviate and satiate God's anger at us. One of the main problems with that is that you can never be sure that you're really doing enough to alleviate that wrath, right? To satiate God's anger at sin. Right? It was hellish, it was dark, and this medieval abuse strongly resonates in many of the churches today. Right? It didn't just go away. It's still with us to this day, all over the world. Luther seemed to feel this weight more deeply than most. It nearly drove him to despair. But the Lord is merciful. And he may not always give us exactly what we want, but you know what he does give us? Exactly what we need. And in the case of Luther, the Lord used it to drive him straight to the Holy Bible, straight to the sacred scriptures. And there he discovered that God's wrath, right, this distance between God and man that we've caused, that has already been quenched by the self-sacrifice of the Son, who was put forward as a blood offering for the sins of the world. So all of this then sort of moralistic preaching that he'd been accustomed to hearing and even preaching himself, about how to live and how to apply it to his life so he can do better and appease God's wrath, he discovered there was nothing he had to do for his salvation. Right? Nothing. Indeed, nothing he could do for his salvation. Because God in the person of Jesus Christ had already done it. And he had done it all. The Holy Spirit taught Luther from the scriptures that sinners are justified by God's grace as a gift, right? Not by pilgrimages, not by indulgences, not by anything else that we do or don't do. And they receive this gift that God gives by the miracle and the power of faith, to just rest in that truth, to rest in God. This is security and peace. And it is that security and peace that had not been known for quite some time throughout the Middle Ages, at least not widely. In this gospel is safety and surety, because our fate is not dependent upon the wavering will of fallen men or our half-hearted efforts and attempts to try to appease God. Thanks be to the Lord for it. Our life rests on the immovable promise of God that sinners are justified by God's grace, and they receive that by faith. That's something that the world back then needed to hear. And that is something that every one of us needs to hear today. Because we're always trying to appease God's wrath. Even if we don't come out fully and admit it, we're little law workers deep down in our hearts. We always think that if we just do better, try harder, what? God will like me maybe a little bit more than the person sitting next to me at church on Sunday. God will regard me and think of me a little bit higher than the person in front of me. We don't admit that, right? We never come out and just admit that. But we're thinking that sometimes. We're thinking. God's word concerning this gospel promise, the surety and the rest that we're given through the gospel, it resounds in our psalm for today, right? Let me read part of it for you. God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea. Why? For the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Now this safety, this peace of the soul is also sounded by our Lord the gospel lesson for today, to the Jews who believed him. If the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. There is now in Christ no longer any slavery to Satan, to sin, to hell, to death. It is all gone. He is the breaker of our chains, and he has broken them completely. Resting in Christ, there is no reason that a Christian salvation ever has to be uncertain or in question. If we are resting in Christ, there is no reason for that. In Christ, there's no secret or ambiguous amount of sin that's just kind of hanging around, left to be purged away in purgatory or whatever other nonsense we come up with. How do we know this? How do we know this? Because if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. That is the promise of God in the scriptures. And God is not a liar. Jesus washes away sin for certain. And it's not an 80-20 split. It's done. Our God is not the God of doing things halfway and then quitting. What does he say? He says, it is finished, right? And he declares that from the holy cross, it is finished. It is done, right? Not it will one day be finished when you can muster up enough strength to finish my work. If you can just try a little bit harder, pull yourself up from your bootstraps and all of that. What does he say? It is finished right here, right now. With my death for you, right? This is the price of your rebellion, and it's been paid in full with my blood, he says. Don't just give us a chance to try again a little bit harder with some startup money or whatever. He is the God who makes sons and daughters out of absolute strangers and rebels and slaves. He didn't die so that we would, you know, kind of be inspired by his sacrifice to try a little bit harder. He died to rescue from Satan, to take you back to himself, to grab a hold of you and to pull you up from the abyss into which you were sinking, to scrub the charred remains of sin off of you and make you radiantly and beautifully white by joining you to himself. Now, if you think that you can add anything to that, I'll say it plainly, you're an idiot. If you think that you can add to Christ making you holy, you've missed something huge, huge about the Christian faith. And you think probably way too much of your capabilities, right? We call that in the Christian church, that's called something particular. It's pride. It's pride. The freedom and the peace that he declares to us by his mighty word, that doesn't have any strings attached for you, right? There's no conditions attached to that. He has baptized you into his name and into his family. And don't you know that that does not just fade back into the ether, right? It doesn't just dissipate like the dew outside on the grass, right? We'll go outside and we'll probably see that once the sun has hit the grass after worship, it's gone, right? Baptism is not like that. Baptism, my brethren, is an ocean. It is all worlds, it is all universes, it is the entirety of heaven given to you. It's the spring of God welling up to eternal life that flows from the riven side of the Lamb who is Jesus. So all of this to say is not going anywhere. And so you don't need to go and get rebaptized or whatever, like that could be a thing that could happen. Like God couldn't get the job done the first time. The waters of holy baptism drown Satan in a flood of grace. They break forth and give us new life and new birth, so that out of death comes the living. Out of slavery comes free sons and daughters. And out of hell comes saints marching to war. And so faith is not scaling up a mountain without a safety net. I've heard it likened to that before. It's not even climbing up a mountain at all. Neither is it an act of our will, dependent upon our strength and our commitment or whatever. If it were, then we would have fallen off this mountain a long time ago and we would have been dashed to pieces at the bottom. Faith is this. Faith is this. It is finally, finally resting secure and safe in our God who is a fortress, a citadel and a castle with ramparts and bulwarks who, though the earth itself give way, shall never, ever be moved. Faith rests secure in the arms of our mighty God and Savior, whose name is Jesus. Our God is a fortress precisely because the earth will eventually give way. You know that, right? The earth will eventually give way. And our faith is right now under attack by the devil in this life. God is not a fortress that we build up with our sincerity. He doesn't become sort of more reliable or more trustworthy with the strength of our faith, the strength of our commitment, or whatever. Rather, he gives himself as our fortress for our safety and our security freely and without cost to us, because he loves us. He is unmoving, and his word cannot and will never be broken. Bad things, beloved of the Lord, do happen to good people in this world. And I say that in the wake of the last 3 years and counting. They have been sort of a testament to that fact. Not been the best of times. They happen to good people and people even who are found in Jesus Christ. Burden and temptation and sorrow, they all come to us. You know them well. And they will continue until the last day. But the gates of hell, we are promised, will never, ever prevail against the church. Why? Because the head of the church is our Savior, Jesus Christ. And the gates of hell will never prevail against him. In him, we are safe and we are secure. We are as solid as the rock that we're founded upon. So we don't then need to be constantly looking over our shoulders, afraid to see if the devil is trying to get us. Newsflash, the devil is trying to get us, right? Newsflash, if you didn't know that, he is. But he can't. Why? Because the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. And Satan will never prevail against our God. There's no need to measure our devotion or our faith, right? Or count up all of our good works. Faith as small as a mustard seed. A tiny speck is all. All those things are worthless when compared to the law, to the Torah anyway. But praise be to God, the Lord of hosts is with us, the God of Jacob. He is our fortress. And embraced in this way, embraced by God in this way, so powerfully in his arms that surround us at all times, right? Whether we be on the mountain or in the valley, whether we be sick or well, doesn't matter. Embraced by our God in this way, he will bring us with him into eternity. And that is security. That is comfort and peace and rest given to penitent sinners who do not deserve it. In Jesus' name, amen.